You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. You're listening to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for subscribing on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Himalaya. My name is David Ramil. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. So go to builtbar.com and use the promo code Locked On, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Things are changing quickly as the NBA prepares to move forward with its plan to restart the season. I'll get into the latest news from around the league and what that means for the Miami Heat. Nikola Jokic, Buddy Hield, Jabari Parker, Malcolm Brogdon. Within the last day, all four of them have reportedly tested positive for COVID-19, and all four of them are on teams that will be in Orlando for the resumption of the season. I think the first takeaway that you can get from all this, obviously, as we're starting to see more and more of these cases pop up, or at least reports of these coming from guys like Woj and Shams of The Athletic, is that we're going to see a lot more of these popping up. I think the reality is now that things have changed. I don't feel comfortable saying that we've moved forward, because the reality is that we're seeing cases increase across the board around the country. And unfortunately, we seem to be denying the reality that's impacting us on a daily basis. I don't mean to make light of this. I don't mean to joke, but I mean, we're seeing the numbers all prove that we're making a huge mistake in returning to businesses, returning to restaurants, bars, etc., that people aren't wearing masks, that we're not doing enough. And yet, people are arguing against the logic of that, even as we're starting to see more and more cases. Maybe there aren't enough fatalities to drive home the point, but that's the reality of it. And I think the NBA is no different. While we look at players and we say, you know, they've been quarantined, we know what's going on, they have more resources, they have more wealth, they're fit, they're young for the most part, we assume that they're going to be free of the ramifications, but that's hardly been the case. We've already seen a number of players obviously test positive when the season first ended, and you know, when initial testing had been done, we hadn't heard about increased cases during the quarantine, because the assumption was that they were going to be at least maintaining social distancing and not necessarily have access to facilities and be interacting with players or other people in general. Now that's all changed pretty dramatically. Malcolm Brogdon, unfortunately, was one of the, he was one of the most vocal NBA players leading protests, making statements, and he was within a crowd of people. And, you know, I can't say that's for certain. No one knows for certain where he might have contracted the virus, but he certainly was exposed to a lot of people. I don't know what Hield and Parker were doing during the past few weeks, but again, they were exposed. We saw pictures of skinny Nikola Jokic standing next to tennis superstar, I can't remember his name now, Jokovic. Is it Nikola Jokovic also? I'm not sure if both of them are named Nikola or not, but either way, both of them have now tested positive for the coronavirus. And so this is what's happening, is people are just kind of interacting and forgetting about the impacts of a global pandemic. And clearly we're still being affected by this at the NBA level. And I think, you know, with teams resuming group workouts very quickly, we face the possibility of having large chunks of rosters test positively even before they travel to Orlando. I think of the Toronto Raptors that are now in Fort Myers, Florida, having traveled from Toronto where they met in a group, and they traveled to Fort Myers because Nick Nurse has some connections to that area. They're going to be training, they're going to be quarantined, and they're just going to be there for a period of time before that team can be allowed to travel to Orlando. Well, the hope is that they'll be safe, that they won't be interacting with too many people on the outside, but I mean, there's no way of limiting who's interacting with them at their hotels and rooms and things of that sort. I'm sure there'll be some positive cases throughout the league. It would be a great surprise if not every one of the 22 teams that presents themselves in Orlando faces at least one positive case between here and the resumption of the season. And I think a thing to consider also is that we kind of take these things for granted because, we're starting to see that these young, again, wealthy players are still healthy, that they're mostly asymptomatic, and the assumption is that they're going to be fine. That while Jokic, Hield, Parker, and Brogdon have all been, again, asymptomatic, that Rudy Gobert, that Kevin Durant, that all the other people that have tested positive were mostly asymptomatic from what I can remember. we all assume that there won't be any long-term effects of a virus, and that has yet to be understood or finalized. So I think there's still the possibility of some long-term health impacts. And it puts into question whether or not the league should resume in the first place. And I've kind of been pretty consistent about it. I guess a lot of people might say that I was being very negative. I'd like to think of myself as mostly realistic more than anything else. Again, as I've kind of repeated this ad nauseum, but I stand to lose more because I can't cover the sport that I do cover for a living. And so it's a little more difficult for me to make up content, to talk about basketball, to write about basketball when there's no actual basketball being played. So it's not like I have any kind of positive, anything to gain as a result of the season not resuming. But it just, there seems to be so many factors regarding health and things of that sort. In any case, how it impacts the Heat is, again, there might be an increased risk. We're starting to see players interact more with one another. Coaches are going to be in the American Airlines Arena. There's going to be an increased risk of exposure from anyone in that facility. And specifically, though, I did talk in the most recent episode about Derrick Jones Jr. and his decision to play in Orlando. He has not confirmed or denied recently whether or not he would participate in Orlando. And he stated some time ago that he would play if the season resumed, but that was well before the Disney plan had been finalized, before we started to get the kind of health doctrine that has been passed down from the league regarding the bubble and things of that sort. So now that we're starting to see more and more cases crop up, and I did speak about Davis Bertans of the Washington Wizards, who flat out said, you know what, I'm not risking the possibility of making millions of dollars next season as an impending free agent, something that Derrick Jones is also. I'm not sure that Derrick should play. I talked about this, again, in the most recent episode, and I thought that he was going to play. I'm not certain that he will or won't. Again, from what we've heard, he seems to be interested. The Heat, in general, will probably encourage their players to participate. But for Derrick, I think he's risking a lot. And I think part of the way of looking at this is, what does he have to prove? He spent some time injured. He's shown some flashes as a guy who can defend some bigger players. You know, he guarded Giannis Antetokounmpo for a stretch. He can be a kind of a 3-4. He can switch. He's long. He can guard the inbound pass because of his lanky frame. You know, he does have some potential as a 3-and-D player, although his outside shot is still a work in progress. But I'm just not sure what the point of participating in Orlando would do for him and his stock as a free agent. I think if you look at what Derrick Jones is how he's viewed around the league, I think it's a little different than how Heat fans perceive him as a guy who has, you know, a lot of potential. I think he's viewed as having some potential around the league too, maybe just enough where you can throw a lot of money at him and hope that he'll continue to develop. Teams around the league probably see another level for Derrick to reach, that he can continue to grow and develop. I'm not so sold on that point. I don't know that he's necessarily going to develop outside of Miami. I think Miami is the team that gives him the best opportunity to continue to thrive. And outside of that, I'm not sure that he's going to reach another level of his development. So for now, this might be the highest his stock will ever be, unless he has a massive monumental showing in Orlando. But that seems very unlikely. One, given how ridiculous everything is going to be, the kind of erratic play that we're going to see early on, the fact that he hasn't played any organized basketball for weeks. I don't know that he's going to continue to get better. Is his shot going to be falling down in Orlando? Is he going to be the kind of impact player that other teams are going to say, well, this is a guy we can throw even more money at? I mean, I think right now, if you view him around the league, you could probably say he could get a $9 million a year contract, probably worth 3 or 4 years. I think that's fair. 4 for 36 seems to be somewhere realistic for Derrick, and I just don't think that's realistic for the Heat, considering their long-term plans of wanting to sign Giannis Antetokounmpo and other big-name free agents. So for him to go to Orlando is a huge risk, and one that personally I'm not so sure he should take. Now, I'd love to see him there. I'd love to see him play well. I'd love to see him continue with a team and take less money, just from a selfish perspective of wanting to cover him and the team and have a young player who can offer some potential. But he has to look out for his own self-interest, similarly to what Bertans did. And so if that's the case, Derrick should probably start to consider a lot more closely whether or not it's worth the risk. I would also assume that, well, you know what? I'll talk about that in the next segment. The Heat might be looking to tweak the roster if Derrick does play or not before going to Orlando, and at least one free agent name is off the board. I'll talk about that in the next segment. You're listening to Locked On Heat. So, Built Bar, how many times can I possibly tell you that this is the best protein bar I've ever had. It tastes like a candy bar, 16 different flavors to choose from. You'll definitely find a flavor that you want to try. And the best thing about it is that you can go to builtbar.com and build your own box. It's not like you're married to any one flavor. You can't get something and taste it and be like, oh, I don't really like this one. No, no. You get other flavors, try them all, see which ones you like, and you can always just continue to order more and more and more. They have all the nutrients you're looking for. They're low carb, low sugar, taste great, all the great qualities that you might be looking for in a nutrient bar and a protein bar. And just, it's amazing how so many people that I know love these things. It's not like I'm just trying to sell this point to you, but the reality is, you know, guys around the Locked On Network just rave about these things constantly. That they love all these different flavors. I'm kind of settled into the flavor I like best. My wife likes different flavors, so I get some for her, but they're just so convenient. They're just a great snack. You grab them on the go when you don't want to necessarily cook anything or prepare a meal. You just want a little snack. Built Bars fit the bar perfectly. So you just grab it, go to builtbar.com, enter the promo code LOCKEDON, and you get $10 off your next order. Believe me, you won't be disappointed. It's a great protein bar that tastes great too. If you don't have a lot of time, and I know a lot of you don't because I certainly don't have a lot of time, but you want to continue to develop yourself, Blinkist.com is the app for you. Believe me, it's very easy to use. You can use it on your phone, your tablet, your computer, whatever is the easiest and most convenient for you. If you want to just listen to it while you're driving around, if you want to just sit down and have a few minutes where you can actually read a book. And the thing about it is it takes thousands of books in their catalog and just breaks it down into 15 minutes where you get the most condensed, the most important points of every book just boil down for you so that you can still get what that book is all about without necessarily committing a huge amount of time to it. You have so many different categories from psychology, biographies, memoirs, management and leadership, communication style, career and success, different things that you might be looking for as you continue to want to improve. And it's just a great, great feature. I love it. I use it. My family has definitely taken advantage of my ability to log on and get to a discounted rate. And now you can do it too. If you go to Blinkist, you'll get, again, unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books. All the books you want for one low price. You go to Blinkist. That's BLINKIST.com/NBA. And you start a free 7-day trial and you save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist.com/NBA. You get 25% off and a 7-day trial if you go to Blinkist.com/NBA. I wanted to talk a little bit more about Derrick Jones and the possible impact of his decision, whether or not he should choose to stay or participate in Orlando, or whether or not he should just stay at home and continue to train and wait for free agency whenever that might be. The factors are numerous. He could increase his value. That seems highly unlikely given the team's depth and the fact that they've acquired Jay Crowder, that they've acquired Andre Iguodala, guys that are going to get some playing time there. Derek's going to have a very limited role. We start to see that after the trade. We've seen that throughout the season. You can use him in specific spots. I know he could get the starting lineup. He could get into the starting lineup. He could be a key defender. He could have a couple games where he knocks down a big shot. But I think there's enough people viewing him as untapped potential where exposing himself as perhaps a limited player might be contradictory to that, might be counterintuitive to the kind of money he's poised to make. In any case, as far as whether or not he makes a decision or not, I think there's another factor here, and that's the fact that the team will probably look down upon his decision to sit out. And I don't necessarily mean players, although, as I mentioned in yesterday's podcast, Evan Fournier criticizing Davis Bertans for wanting to make his money came out of left field for me, and I'm very, very surprised that another player would attack somebody like that. But in any case, I don't know if the guys on this Heat team will criticize Derek for wanting to make his money, but I know that it's very likely the coaching staff and the front office will be very disappointed if he elects to stay. So that might be just enough peer pressure to get him to actually participate in the Orlando bubble. So look, again, we haven't heard from Derek. We haven't heard from anybody else. You know, there are other players on this roster who could elect to sit out. I don't know if that's going to be the case. For now, you think that Heat culture and everything it represents, the fact that everybody's on board, the fact that they could be a surprise dark horse team that could challenge for a title might be enough to get everybody to kind of just, I guess, pony up and take the risk and hope for the best. For now, nobody's tested positively. The Heat is a somewhat tight-lipped organization when it comes to revealing things of that sort, although I don't think that they would keep that kind of thing quiet or secretive. But at least for now, it seems like nobody's tested positively, and we can only hope that continues to be the case. But I did also want to talk about something else that I mentioned in the previous episode. I misspoke a little bit when I talked about Solomon Hill and his role with the team, just because I realized later on that if the team was going to be making a change to their roster, it's because they would have to waive somebody. And he does seem like the most likely candidate, partly fueled by the fact that he did stay longest in his home surroundings rather than coming in and reporting for the team. He did not travel to Miami until most recently. He was the last player on the roster to do so. So a lot of people assumed that he was going to get waived, and he would be the player that most likely gets waived. And if the team is going to be making a change to the roster, again, nothing certain about whether or not they want to make a change. My point was that they didn't need it. I saw somebody respond to me that they could use a big. I don't know how certain that is or how likely that is between Kelly Olynyk, Myers Leonard, and Bam Adebayo. I think they've got what they're looking for. They're not going to get a big body. They're not going to get a rim protector or anything like that. That's just not the nature of their defense. They had that over the last couple seasons with Hassan Whiteside, and it didn't necessarily work out for them. So I like the way they play defense a little bit better, although there's no denying they have to improve on that, at least from what we saw over the last few weeks prior to the season ending. But one name is off the board as far as potential free agents if they were going to make an addition to the roster, and that's Tyler Johnson. Our good friend Tyler has been signed by the Brooklyn Nets, going to the team that initially offered him a four-year deal a few years ago, and Miami elected to match in the wake of Dwayne Wade's departure for the Chicago Bulls. They couldn't afford to lose another player that a lot of fans had endeared themselves to, and so they chose to pay him the four-year $50 million deal. Whatever. That's a long story, not worth debating that. I'm happy for Tyler. I think it's a good fit for him. Obviously, with Kyrie Irving out, they do need a ball handler. He's a guy who can kind of play both guard positions. He's not going to be initiating a lot of offense, but I think he works hard. I think he can play hard there. I think he can make a contribution. So I'm happy for him getting an opportunity in the NBA. I would have liked Miami to add him to the roster, to be honest with you, although I don't necessarily think he's a need position there. But he knows the culture. He fits in well. I just hope for the very best for him as far as just continuing to thrive in the NBA, because I've always been a fan of his work ethic and his personality. He's been very solid. He's been very humble. He did everything he possibly could. He got paid, and there's not a one among us who would deny the opportunity to get paid $50 million if we could take it, whether we felt we deserved it or earned it or not. He's put in the work. He might not necessarily live up to that kind of value as far as the contract is concerned, but he certainly did everything that was asked of him while he was in a Heat uniform. So best of luck to him in Brooklyn. Anyway, a couple other names that are being tossed about. Avery Bradley has elected to sit out the Orlando experience, and that's the Los Angeles guard wing player who's mostly known for his defensive acumen. So it looks like the Lakers are going to be needing to make a change. I think Tyler Johnson would have fit in well there, just because, again, the culture and everything else, some experience playing alongside Lakers guard Dion Waiters, so that probably would have helped. But there's also another name that's on the board, and that's J.R. Smith, a guy who has played with LeBron James and won a championship with the Cleveland Cavaliers, so that seems like a good pairing. It's been reported that he is tops as far as the Lakers' list of impending free agents that they might bring in there. And so Smith might be off the board. Tyler Johnson is off the board. But one name is back on it, and that's DeMarcus Cousins. From what we've been reported is that DeMarcus was going to sit out the season. His agent saw the report and said, no. Boogie wants to at least entertain offers and see what's available to him. He may not come back, but he may. And so let's not report that he's sitting it out and he needs to take time to recover. For the right opportunity to join a contender, he's interested. That's a big question, whether or not he views Miami that way, whether or not he sees another team. What other team is most likely to add a guy like DeMarcus Cousins? I mean, the Los Angeles Clippers are going to sign Joakim Noah. I think the Lakers are all set with Dwight Howard, unless Dwight Howard sits out because of his decision to be invested in social movements and social justice movements, rather, and just not participate in basketball. He's been one of the most vocal players alongside Kyrie Irving regarding the role of the NBA and NBA players in continuing to protest and do everything they can. You wonder if, if Dwight sits out the season or the rest of the regular season, maybe DeMarcus is a good option. Obviously, he got waived by the Lakers. They could sign him again. At least that's my understanding. And I've mentioned this before, as far as his fit in Miami, it's a solid fit if he's able to contribute, if he's able to be a good player, if he's able to do the work and do everything that's asked of him and to fit alongside Eric Spoelstra and the rest of the players here. Is he committed to winning a championship? Is he committed to doing everything that's asked of him from the team? That's a big question, and I don't even know that if he's 100% healthy. So there's a lot of different factors there, and it's not great. There's a lot to consider when it comes to DeMarcus and his future. You know, it could be in question. I still thought that it probably is in his best interest to just go and sit out the rest of the season and continue to work for the following year. But I suppose his agent probably wants him to get a little bit more exposure to show other teams that he can still contribute and play at a high level. I remain skeptic about that. But either way, he's back on the board. We'll see if he's able to make a contribution in the NBA, whether or not he's able to join a team this year, and whether or not that team might be the Heat. I don't think it is, but we'll see what happens. But we'll also see whether or not Bam Adebayo is going to be launching from beyond the arc. I'll answer that in the next segment of Locked On Heat. Everybody's looking to save money, and with the increasing numbers of makes and models for cars and trucks, it's impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. And so what do? If you want to fix your car, if you want to get the right part for your car or truck, you go to rockauto.com. You repair and maintain your car so you save money. It's important for things, especially now when you can save that money for other things that you really need, like your mortgage or food or anything that might be important to your kids. If you can save a couple $100, and look, everybody needs a car. You want to be able to make adjustments, make repairs, and do it as cheaply as possible and do it right. So that's what rockauto.com is, the best one for you. They've been doing this for 2 decades. That's 20 years online. It's easy to use. They've got convenient self-service when you go to rockauto.com and you shop for your auto body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything you need there. You just go look through the parts that you need, find the right price for you, and all those prices are very, very low, manageable, no matter whether you're a company, whether or not you're a do-it-yourselfer. And I've said it before, I've used it. It's been great. Saved me hundreds of dollars and was so quick and easy to use. I totally recommend it. Go to rockauto.com. They're a family business, and so you know you're supporting an organization that's been there, has been stable, and has been able to work with their customers for, again, 2 decades online. You see all the parts available, and then when you go to a section called How Did You Hear About Us, just write in Locked On so that they know we sent you, get a discount. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Sort of opening up the mailbag here, trying to get in a little question and answer session, because so many of you have asked questions over the last few weeks and I haven't really been able to devote myself to a full mailbag, knowing that, well, things are changing so quickly around the league. It's been very difficult to kind of keep up and report as much as possible when that changes almost on a daily basis, and so many different variations of these news and how they might impact the team, etc. But still good to answer your questions, especially from people like Jeff, who has been a longtime supporter of the show. He writes in, given that the Heat have had nothing but time to work on skills, how many three-pointers does Bam attempt before the end of the Heat season? Wow. So the assumption then here from Jeff is that Bam is going to be working on his outside shot. And I'm not convinced of that. You know, we know that early on, Bam, like most people, like definitely most players, were quarantining to some effect and did not have access to either a basketball hoop or any kind of facilities. Eventually, his teammate Jimmy Butler provided one. Not sure if where Bam lives, he could set up a hoop. That was also a question where there, it was a very, very nice gesture. But we also know that not every player lives in a huge house with a huge yard and can't set up the hoop in a convenient location. If you're living in a condo downtown, it's not like you can just put the hoop anywhere. So I don't know that Bam has necessarily had access to a basketball rim until the Heat were opening up their facilities. And then he was able to at least go down there and get some work in. I remain skeptical about Bam continuing to expand his shot. I think it's the next step for him. I think he's been shooting those regularly in a practice type scenario. I don't know that he's necessarily done so enough over the last couple of months or weeks or whatever that he feels comfortable enough to do it in a game, especially in an 8-game regular season where seeding and who you face in the playoffs is at stake, and the playoffs being at stake once they move on to the postseason and they're facing tougher competition in the Eastern Conference. I just don't see it. If I had to warrant, if I had to guess how many attempts that he'll actually take, I'd say less than 5. That's over the course of 8 regular season games left to be played and whatever games the Heat men wind up playing in the playoffs. I could see probably being closer to 2. I'd love for him to expand his range. I think that's the next step for him. We've talked about this before. For Bam, the shot is there. We know he can take it. It's not an uncomfortably bad release. He just has a confidence problem. He does kind of tend to hold the ball a little off, and he's not quite sure when and how to release it. He's also, you know, he needs to work on that confidence a little bit. He needs to be much more fluid. You know, he kind of says it's the coach that, you know, has let him off the leash. Those were his words in a story I wrote about him. But at the same time, he also has shown an unwillingness to just let it fly. I don't know if he just understands that that's the next step for his evolution. And with a guy like Myers Leonard starting alongside him, maybe Bam's just not necessarily the right choice there. There are other shooters on the team, and maybe he just thinks it's better for him to make plays for others, to, you know, find a shooter along the perimeter and pass the ball, which is something that is his strength. You know, he'd rather play to his strengths rather than test something like this. And I don't know, again, given the situation and the critical nature of the next few games in the regular season and playoffs, unleashing that shot might not be the right time. I could see that being something that he works on over the summer or whatever, whenever the season ends and whenever the next one resumes in training camp and things of that sort. That's going to be something that is the next step for him. But that might not be a while. I looked at what he was doing this summer, and obviously, if you recall, I interviewed Chris Bosh and talked to him about working alongside Bam and things of that sort. And he told me that, you know, Bam needs more confidence when it comes to his shooting ability, but that he has all the tools and everything that he might need to get to that next level. But I assume that this year we would see a lot more mid-range jumpers. That did take a slight uptick, but he still didn't feel comfortable shooting from the perimeter. So at least if you continue to expand that range, go a little further and a little further with every season, it seemed like maybe next season would be a good opportunity for him to stretch the floor a little bit more. But now with everything that's happened, the shortened season, the fact that there's going to be a shortened offseason, assuming that the NBA resumes for the 2020-21 season, I don't know that he's going to have as much time as he would feel comfortable working on that shot to unveil it either this season or the next. So his development as far as being an outside shooter, even a slightly reliable one, is probably going to be delayed somewhat. We're looking at possibly a few years before that becomes part of his repertoire. You know, and so far, it hasn't really mattered. We'd like for him to be able to do that on a more consistent basis. But if you can be a, you know, all-star player who can make plays for others and can defend at an all-NBA level like he can, I'm not so sure the three-point shot is necessarily something you're going to be working on. To be honest with you, as much as I like the idea of Bam shooting threes, and that's certainly a possibility given, again, his shooting touch and everything else, I won't have to develop a back-to-basket repertoire. He does not have that at all. And, you know, again, considering his speed and athleticism, he should be able to get past bigger centers or slower centers. He should be able to get past mostly anybody, especially with his leaping ability. He should be able to have some kind of a hook shot or an up-and-under move, something. And he just does not have a low-post game right now, not one to speak of. And so I'd like for him to work on that a little bit more, and I think that's something that's much more realistic as far as this season and the next. We'll have to see. We'll wait and see what happens. If Bam does join the team in Orlando and continue to be a part of this team over the next few weeks, hopefully he'll have shown some changes to his repertoire. I wouldn't count on it, but I think that's the most likely step, is Bam kind of working on that low post game and continuing to expand on that a little bit, and then slowly but surely continuing to expand his range as a shooter. But we'll have to wait and see. I'll continue to talk about the latest news from around the NBA over the next few episodes. I'll also cover the release of the Heat schedule, which should be taking place within the next couple of days. It's been reported that that'll happen on Friday of this week. I'll record an immediate reaction to that show and let you know who the Heat is playing as soon as we find out. And we'll talk a little bit more about what that could mean for the team and what they're struggles might be over the regular season. But maybe you should make sure to subscribe and follow this podcast right now on your favorite podcast app, and you'll get the latest episode of Locked On Heat as soon as it's out. I'm David Ramil signing off and thanking you as always for your support.
Crack it up, D.